So tonight here is Gozecha Nishmas HaRav Yechiel Michal Ben HaRav Elezer Lipper Zatzal, Yeshena's father. And he was a Mohel as well as a Shochet, so they chose to speak on Inyane Mila. So I'm sure you remember, we'll just continue from last year, I'm sure you remember, just to a quick review and we'll move on. But as we know, even though the mitzvah of Mila is began by from Avraham Avinu in the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha Vayera, and we find Mila throughout the book of Bereishis. Nevertheless, as the famous Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis and in Mishnah Torah has this very important principle that we don't learn any halachas from Kodesh Matan Torah. Everything that we do today, it's nice history. It's not, we can learn out different aspects of the mitzvah, but the reason why we have to do Mila today has nothing to do with, it was only Avram, I could choose not to. It's because it was repeated to Moshe at Har Sinai. And in fact, that's what the Rambam writes in Parshas. In this week's Parsha we have, it says, and they sat Shiva for Yaakov Avinu 7 days. But Yatzuka Avel Shiva Jomim. So the Rambam asked, so Avelu should be Minat Torah. 7 days. There's a pasuk in this week's parasha of Vayechi that they sat avelus for 7 days. So therefore, Shiva should be 7 days. And according to everybody, both the Svardim and the Ashkenaz. For the Svardim, the Rambam, they passed in avelus Yom Rishon is Daraisa. The first day is Daraisa. The rest is Drabbanan. And we, even the Ashkenaz, say all 7 days are Drabbanan. The pasuk in the Chumash says that they mourn 7 days. That's what the Rambam writes. That doesn't make a difference when it says Kodesh Matan Torah, that's not the reason why it's binding. It was a nice custom they had with Yaakov Avinu, but that's not why we sit Shiva. We sit Shiva because, well, in this case, it wasn't. If you assume like the Rambam, it was repeated on Har Sinai, it's a biblical law, but if not, it was Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, made up rabbinic laws as well. So that's the Rambam's principle, even though we find many mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis. That's not why they're binding on us, and they're binding because it was given to us on Har Sinai. In fact, the Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Lamed Gimel, Kuf Lamed Hey, in fact, learns halacha l'maisa in terms of halachas of Mila. In terms, we all know, where do we know Mila from? Yom HaShmini Yimo B'Sar Alasa, a pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. And the Gemara learns out, Uveyom Afilu B'Shabbos, that we know we do Mila 7 days a week. Even on Shabbos, we do a Bris Mila. Of course, that's a Mila Bizmana. A Mila on the eighth day is always done even on Shabbos. So the Gemara has an interesting discussion. What about a C-section baby? But why is a C-section, why would we discriminate against C-section babies? So that's the Gemara based on the juxtaposition of the Psukim. So there's a discussion there, Ravasi and others, since the juxtaposition is Isha ki sazri of a yolda zachar. It says a woman will give birth and have a male child. Then it says v'tama shiva shamim, and the mother becomes tame for 7 days. So in fact, that's what the Gemara Nida tells us. Why do we have Mila on the eighth day? Why not day one, day five? Because we don't want everyone else to be happy, and the husband and wife can't be together. So at least biblically speaking, today it doesn't make a difference. It's much longer than that. But on the biblical level, that the husband and wife, so we wait for day seven so everyone could join in the simcha together. So,
with the case of Gita Noshi, it says, Al Ken Lo Yochlu, as if to say that is the source, specifically in connection with Yaakov, Al Ken Lo Yochlu.
Right, that's actually a famous machlokes, that's the Rambam, it's the same Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis. That's what the machlokes in the Mishnah, whether does a Gid HaNashi apply to a behemoth Tahora or a behemoth Temeah? In other words, so the Rambam over there on that Mishnah points out that obviously, even though Nishna Halacha, the Torah came and changed. So even though, so that's a discussion whether some say it never did apply to Bnei Yaakov, and it's like written in later. Like, and therefore, when Moshe wrote over the Torah, the way Rashi learns, he's now Al Kain, it looks like a throne in the Pasuk. And the Rambam holds, no, they always kept Gid HaNashi, but it wasn't the reason why it's binding on us. It's because it was repeated later on on Har Sinai. That's a discussion in the Rishonim, whether it actually applied then at all. What's the, either way, it's a chiddush in either direction. One chiddush is it never was usher to them, that was added on later on, or it always was usher to them, but the reason why it's usher on us isn't because it's irrelevant to what happened to Yaakov, it's only because it was repeated later on in Har Sinai. That's the Rambam's principle throughout Sefer Bereishis. All these laws are only binding based on what it was given later. There are some details we'll see we might be able to learn out from them, but fundamentally, if it wasn't repeated at Har Sinai, we wouldn't be obligated in the mitzvah. That's why, in fact, that's what Gemara gives us halacha, that since the juxtaposition later on between Tumas Leda and childbirth, that's why in theory a C-section baby, a mother doesn't become Tame, because in theory there's no Dam. So therefore the question was, since she's not becoming Tame Leda, she doesn't become Tame at birth, so maybe you should do the bris on day one. What's the no reason to wait? So that's the machlokes in the Gemara, whether you do a C-section baby on day one or day eight. And since it's a sveika d'dina, we don't come out lahalacha, we don't come out b'torez vadai, how we paskin. Therefore, that's the halacha l'maisa, and hence no C-section babies on Shabbos. If a C-section is day eight and healthy, and you wouldn't do the bris, you cannot do a bris milah on Shabbos day eight for a C-section, because we want to cover ourselves. So during the week we would, because we're manashach. If it's day one, so day eight works also. But if it's day eight, we don't want to do day one, so we have to wait to day eight. But it's only a suffix milah, but maybe really day one was the time, and we can't do a milah on Shabbos. No different than a ben hashmashas baby, a baby that's born twilight, let's say Friday, after sunset, before nightfall, we can't do a bris on Shabbos either, because it's a suffix milah bizmana. And if the Ocha Shabbos, it has to be b'toriz vada, it has to be for sure. And then we saw, actually, there's a big chiddush in the later postgame of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and later on, I heard Rav Schechter, Rary Willig, and many others say it as well, that not only that, but there's a Gemara in Chagiga, which talks about bathhouse insemination, the famous case in Gemara Chagiga. We're at the right time now for bathhouse insemination, and therefore the Gemara says it's not considered a regular childbirth. And Rabbi Yochanan says a woman who became impregnated from bathhouse insemination does not become tamei. She does not become tamei. So Rabbi Yochanan says, based on this, also you can't do a milah on. You can't do a meal on day eight then, because why? Because so Rabbi Yochanan has two pshatim. What's pshat in the Gemara? Rav Shlomo Zalman, I should say, has two pshatim in Rabbi Yochanan. Why is a woman not eno mitame? This woman who gets impregnated in a bathhouse, why is she eno mitame according to the Gemara? So Rav Shlomo Zalman, either because it's a miraculous conception and therefore it's not considered normal leda. Well, no, not because it's miraculous, it's unconventional. It's not considered the normal way of doing things. Rav Shlomo Zalman passes like the second way, and therefore he says today with artificial insemination, and you can get all the new technologies, in vitro, etc., any type of not the pure natural relations, that perhaps has the status of a miraculous birth, so to speak, or a woman perhaps is only a suffix, maybe. She's not Tommy Lay, that means there's no din of day eight. If there's no din of day eight, so amazingly, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and I heard Rav Schechter say it, I was riding to New York that week, and I actually heard Rabbi Willig on a totally different shear. He happened to throw that out and say, yeah, that's the way we paskin. On the other hand, the only person I saw who's Mako is Avadja Yosef. Avadja Yosef says, no, we don't have to be machmir on in vitro or artificial insemination. You could do that on day eight, but Rav Shlomo Zalman, based on this, it's a chiddush because Rabbi Yochanan isn't someone we usually paskin like, and the Gemara is talking about a C-section, so the birth is actually different. Rabbi Yochanan is a double chiddush, is that even though the birth is exactly the same, even if the conception is different, he wants a machadish that doesn't have that perhaps doesn't have the status of a leda. Shabbos day. Yeah, there's no risk. Yeah, it's a suffix milah bizmana, so you can't do it.
It sounds like it's Darshin and time of the Tikra. The Pasuk tells you day. So we know the reason. But you're saying now that...
No, it's always a fine line between We do it all the time. It's always, on one hand, it's true. We pass, and you're not allowed to take the reason, Darshin and Tanya, you can't take the reason and limit the scope of the mitzvah. Yet if you look at any response to all the tshuvas, that's all they do. So what they say is they're not doing Darshin and time at the Kra, they're just giving you the Geder Hadin, what's the definition of, they're just giving you the definition, what the meal is, what's considered Leida. But the Gemara itself, the Gemara's juxtaposition, not the, in other words, the Gemara makes that drasha, Isha Kisazriya Nexta Vituma, and that's the Gemara about C-section.
So yeah, so you have the din.
Yeah.
That's got. But now you're.
No, that's Rabbi Nochanano's chiddush. That he, no, Rabbi Nochanano, he's not there. He's saying that just like, he's saying it's a big chiddush because the Gemara is talking about birth. He's saying even if the conception is unconventional, that's also, that's a big chiddush, Rabbi Nochanano.
But the whole thing is he's trying to darshan whether you have the svara of the eighth day to right, apply so here or not.
Right.
In other words, svara, Darshina, that's
no, but he's just saying, what's the definition of Leida? He's just saying it differently. How do you define Leida in the Torah? He's saying Leida is defined, it has to be a normal from Tchila at Sof. If the conception's not the normal way, then... Right, I'm saying... it's a big chiddush. I never would have thought we'd paskin like him, and but many, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman, I was shocked when I heard, you know, that's the way, but... And Avadja Yosef, he's more makel. He says you could still go ahead and do the bris on day 8, even on Shabbos. And of course, you don't have to tell people why you're not doing the bris. You could just, you know, it could be jaundice. It could be the baby's not well. Many times the bris is, there's no one's business how you became pregnant or how the child. No one has to know why you're not doing it on day 8 on Shabbos. You're allowed to say a white lie, whatever you want to tell people that, you know, that the baby, you know, that we can't do it today. It's going to be whenever.
So with cesarean, that is the practice?
Yes, C-section, that's the din, yeah.
Is it day 9 or day 7?
No, day 9, you can't do day 7, because that's...
Well, because the suffix was 1 or 8.
Yeah, but so 7 definitely, so if it's day 8, then you're not yotze.
Oh, yeah, then
you have to wait, it's like a suffix ben hashmash, you can't do it on Friday, you have to... Yeah, so in terms of that. So then, they point out... It's an interesting discussion in terms of the pain when you have a mila, there's usually some. Well, that's a whole discussion. Is what the baby feels, how much, etc. Does he feel anything? Why is he crying? Because there are all these people looking at him, or he's crying because of the pain. So there's a whole discussion in the postum about doing anesthesia, putting on different types of lotions, or putting a general. What's the halacha in terms of mila, in terms of going under, whether it's local or general? So basically, three schools of thought. I'll give you the two extremes, and then I'll give you the middle road. So the Imre Yoshi, or of Arik, he's very machmir, or meiko, depending on how you look at it. He says, you can't do anything. You have to go the way, no medication, because he says, part inherent in the mitzvah of mila is built in. It's supposed to be an element of pain and vow, that's part of being lahachnas with briso shel Avraham Avinu. And in fact, why he says, because we see the Gemara's time, we already know they didn't have the same ones, but they had different ways of lessening pain. As we know, the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nigmar Hadin, when they were taking someone out to be stoned or killed, the Gemara talks about, you give them a couple of spice, you give them a little drink, two yayin l'sheicher, the old day nefesh. So we know there's a concept. They had different ways of doling the pain, and yet he claims Chazal never did it. So therefore, he claims that's part and parcel of the milo is a negative. You should not try to just go with the flow. Whenever the pain is, that's what you have to deal with. On the other hand, you have the Marsham and the Avadja Yosef that say the opposite. There's no mitzvah pain a milo. I mean, it's coincidental. Of course, usually if you use a knife or whatever you're going to use, it's going to be some pain, but it's incidental. And if you can avoid the pain, like, you should try to do everything you can. God gave us medicine and medical technology. If you could come up with a way to do a kosher bris mila without pain, all the better. And in fact, they go on to say so much that you could do general anesthesia. You could be sleeping at the time of the circumcision. So you have two extremes. You have one hand, Imre Yosher says, you can't do anything. Then you have the Marsham, who the Avadja Yosef quotes, that under again, under certain situations, they point out you could do even a person could be sleeping. Right. So then, the middle opinion is from the Sri Deish of Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg. He has some type of intermediate approach. On one hand, he agrees with the Marsham that there is no inherent mitzvah to suffer during the Bris Milah. Pain is, whatever pain is incidental, but if you could get rid of the pain, all the better. However, there's another problem. You can't put them on in general, he says, because when a person's sleeping, that's what the Minchas Chinah goes into, about mitzvah srichas kavana, that you need kavana. It's a good question on who has to have the kavana. Right. Is the kavana on the father, the moel, the child? That's a separate discussion, but it's a concept of mitzvah striches kavana. And when a person's sleeping, you can't do a mitzvah. You can't eat matzah when you're sleeping. If somehow you could get your... And therefore, he says, so you could do some local anesthesia in order to do something that can minimize the pain, but the person has to be up and aware when he's doing the mitzvah. So it seems
kavana to... Kavana wouldn't apply to the 8 day, to the rachanimo.
No, so that gets...
The mile must not be...
Right, so it depends on... No, so the question is like this. So It gets down to a fundamental machlokis, this issue, in terms of what is the nature of the mitzvah of milah. In other words, is the mitzvah the actual chatika sa'oed, is cutting the foreskin? As long as that gets done, it's the act of cutting it. That's the way. Is that the mitzvah only, or no? Or is it what they call having the status of being circumcised? It's the result that right now, you're someone who's gemal now. So Avadi Yosef and those who say that you could be asleep at the time, they clearly seem to have to go with the second approach, because, okay, so it's true at the time when you did the actual act of the milah, I'm sleeping, but when I wake up, wow, what do you know? I'm a gemal now, and now it works. And the others, the Sri Deish seems to say, and certainly the Imre Yosher, that no, the part of the mitzvah is the maisa milah, and therefore you have to be up during that, you know, that time period. So, and also the discussion is who's the mitzvah of milah on. In other words, simple pshat is you say, is the mitzvah on the child, except that he can't do it, so therefore the father or whoever based it is covering for him? Or do you say no, that the nature of the mitzvah is a shliach to whoever is going to be in charge, when like the Tosfos HaRid defines the texture of the mitzvah isn't the actual act of doing the milah, it's to ensure that the milah is done, and the person, the shliach, whoever it may be, he has to have kavara. But
since the reason for not saying shechiyon among Ashkenazim, so I didn't do say shechiyon, since the reason is mishum tzara deyinuku, if there's no tzara deyinuku, would you then be mechuyev to say shechiyon?
Right, so this one question, that's the raya to the Imre Yosher, that tzara is part of the milah. Or else why wouldn't? But either way, right? But then, but it's just a generic thing. That's a separate question. It's not once that's the halacha, so you don't make a shechiyon. How do you know if the child having tzara deyinuku anyway?
Well, first of all, it's not a
raya.
Because Sfaradim do make it.
No, I'm saying no. It's a raya for Ashkenaz. I'm saying right.
Yeah.
No, Sfaradim make it. The Rambam sheet is you make a shechiyon.
So then, yeah. So that's, you know, not a raya.
I'm saying that's hence the machlokes.
But I imagine that the machlokas is based on the which I understand to be an isser, whether you have an isser of not being gemalt, right? Which that whole machlokas, but you, no matter how that plays out, it only starts when there's bar mitzvah.
That's it,
right? There's no.
No, that's the question. Machlokas Rambam Ravid. When does the chiyuv kares begin?
Right.
Does it go?
Is it die or bar mitzvah? Is it
right? So they say, well, evident, but the Minchas Chinah discussed in the Gemara and Kedushin, at 13 it clearly becomes his obligation. The question is, before 13, was it always his, except someone he wasn't responsible, or perhaps it was the father's, and when he turns 13, it turns on him.
But either way, you're looking at an isser, not a mitzvah sase.
Well, you'd be mavato a mitzvah sase.
Okay,
isser sase.
So are you transposing that onto the 8-year-old? I mean, it clearly doesn't apply before you're 13. So what kind of mitzvah are we talking about for the that he needs kavana on an 8-year-old?
No,
I assume that's the only one I can think of that applies, right? Because the other mitzvah is not his.
But the kid can't have
Kavanah.
No, I'm saying
and that, that was going to be part
right,
of the
right, saying 8-day-year-old kid.
So either way,
right.
Stuck.
No, it's, right. It's a discussion they wrestle with, right. But they just try to discuss whether the Shriach provides the Kavanah. Right, that's why it's difficult to talk about any Kavanah when you're talking about an 8-day-old child.
But how do you get part A? What mitzvah would you be talking about?
No, well, there's a, in general...
The mitzvah of not being a mal doesn't play.
No, there's a chiyav, well, whether it's on the father, and the chiyav is on the father, the gemalt, the kid. So the right. Mitzvah, so minimally the chiyav on the father, so he has to have kavana, or the, you know, or the mohel, or has a shriach, when he that he's fulfilling the, you know, he's having kavana on the mitzvah mila.
Yeah, so you... How does the boy
exactly the die right? With, no, I'm saying with the, so with the kids sleeping or up wouldn't make it, you know, wouldn't really make a difference if the kavanah is coming from
the father.
Yeah, in terms.
So what are we talking about?
I'm saying that no, that's part of the machlokes. I mean, it's not the that's part of the difficulty with it.
The person who a mitzvah who is doing a mitzvah has to be awake. That's all.
That's just a general call we have.
Right? A person who is doing a mitzvah, who's performing a mitzvah, right? If the mitzvah is on the father,
okay, so
that's a different story. But if the mitzvah is on the individual, then that individual has to be awake. So such thing as a mitzvah being done, you can't have...
So if you're being quota...
Result,
so if you're
doing
the mitzvah,
he's not
doing
the
mitzvah,
does he? That's
the other side of the coin.
So if you're doing pidyon haben, does the boy have to be awake?
To have a 30-year-old guy from Russia who never had
I guess the same would be the same.
Now,
it should be, I mean, it's more, but the Kohen, right, depends who the, I guess it depends on who's the chiyuv, it depends on who the obligation of pidyon haben is on. If the mitzvah for the Kohen to redeem her is on the son, but right, but it's a general rule, I'm saying, is
to have a
mitzvah,
you gotta be
here. In fact, when Shlomo Zalman talks about the question, it's a general question, what's the status of someone who's asleep. In fact, because I think Rav Shlomo Zalman had discussed this on Sukkot of a guy sleeping. So what do you mean when you sleep? Yeah, I want you to have a mitzvah to sleep in the Sukkot, but when you're sleeping, so he says you're putting. He says if you're up, you could push the guy out of the Sukkot, and if there's only room for one, and the guy's sleeping because he's up, he's putting in, you could push him back before he wakes up.
Which
but,
is
yeah.
See,
but
Rav Shlomo Zalman says the proof the other way. He says that. If you're going to compare to a get, right, someone's a shliach, and then on the way he decides he's going to sleep for a while, right, you don't say that the shlichus was mevatel.
Right.
The shlichus still continues. So there's nothing wrong fundamentally, even if the baby is the one who's being the one who's giving the shlichus.
Absolutely, yeah. He actually brings down the Gemara over there by again. Yeah.
I still understand.
In the case of an adult meaning, the fact that he happens to be under anesthetic, b'shas hachaticha, doesn't change the fact that he set it up, he called in the mail, he made the arrangement, so he's doing the mitzvah.
That's what Avi said. Avi said that.
No, that's the Tosis Harid. The Tosis Harid, that's how he redefines the texture of the mitzvah. And he says, the mitzvah's not the...
first question is, does he have a mitzvah? At all.
Well, he's an adult, and he's arranging.
That's the machlokes.
He's calling him a machlokes, he's arranging for me.
Yeah, but is he also a mitzvah zase?
Paying for it.
Did he ever have a mitzvah zase? He had a mitzvah lo zase, not to be
in blood.
Not in blood.
Why should he not have the mitzvah zase?
Because the mitzvah zase was called
that's what the Tosfos Harid says, the mitzvah's not... He says it's not a zman grama. He says the mitzvah starts on day one. You got to call the caterer, call the mohel. You got to check on the doctor. So that's the famous question of Tosis about whether milah is a zman grama. So Tosis' right answer is it's not a zman grama. It's nothing to do with day. Not nothing to do with day. That's when you actually do it. But it's the whole package from beginning to end. So that's that's why it's not a milah. It's not a mitzvah seisha zman grama. That's why the Gemara needs a pasuk al sol v'lo osa to exclude a woman, but that's a discussion there. But right, no, that's right. But that's what they point out. I mean, it's a general rule being awake. You know,
would it apply to pidyon haben?
No, so pidyon haben is probably okay also. No, pidyon haben wouldn't because it's not in a normal type mitzvah. You have to be awake. If I'm shaking lulav, I have to be awake.
That's my mitzvah.
Right, no,
it has to be something like.
Well, but pidyon haben, I don't know if it's this. Is it the son's mitzvah to be redeemed? It's the mitzvah on the father to redeem his son. It's a chiyuv on the father.
It's the father or the chiyuv on the kohen, right?
Yeah, but either way, it's not on the son.
But either way, it's not on the son.
Yeah, so therefore,
the risk.
Right.
If we don't say mitzvah, why do you have to be awake?
No, that's...
You do, for a derisa.
For Dereisa, we say Mitzvah's Kavana. Only for Derabanan, we don't.
Okay.
No, according to that's what he's saying. He's saying we don't need to. The child could be sleeping because he's saying it's a result-oriented mitzvah. So it's not, the mitzvah is happening. So when he wakes up, he's still involved in the mitzvah. Like David HaMelech was the medrash. He was in the bathhouse and he was bemoaning, "I can't do any mitzvahs." Then he was nisker the bris milah, and then he just remembered he had a bris milah like 30 seconds ago. Obviously, he had the bris milah years ago. But the concept of being a gemal, so that that's a mitzvah. That, you know, in fact, that's the whole discussion with laser surgery. In fact, you know, it's funny because Rabbi Heck sent me the email that Laser wants to sponsor Vamil, and I got the tradition article. It said laser circumcision, so I was thinking of laser mila for this. But it just came out. It came in this week. Yeah, this last week. Rabbi Black has laser. So he goes. You know, they go through the different issues of whether you need the ma'isa chaticha is enough that it just happens, whether there's no blood or not. It's interesting. What I found interesting is in one of his footnotes, he quotes in the Shevet Halevi, who quotes that. The bottom line is we don't do laser surgery. That they quote from Vatik Tak, next week's Parsha Sipor with the Tsar, Iraq, etc. But unless if it's a hemophiliac, so then in a case of need, some poskim are makel to, we don't want them to bleed, so we specifically do it. So he has an interesting chiluk, he writes, that this person, he's no longer has the status of an aro anymore, and in terms of Karban Pesach and in terms of Truma. However, he still hasn't fulfilled his mitzvah mila, and he says you don't make the first bracha of ala mila, but you do make the second bracha lahat because now he's no longer an aro. You make that very interesting. That itself is a whole point. Is that true? Because he's learning you're not an aro as long as you actually just cut the foreskin. That's against the famous Bris Karav, but the Bris Karav is really based on a Tosis and Yavamas that. The talks about someone who's mesu achiv machmas mila. So again, where a person his brother has passed away from they couldn't stop bleeding, so the halacha is you don't do a mila. So the question is, what's the status of this person? Well, the halacha is saying I can't do a mila, and I'm a kohen, so can I eat the truma or not? So it's a discussion in the Rishonim. Rabbi Tam has a big chiddush that he's not an aro. He says why. It's the mitzvah of mila that creates the status of an aro. It's nothing to do with, it's not a physical cutting off the foreskin. That's the famous Bris Karav, the famous Kasha. Why did Avram wait to be commanded on mila if Avram kept the whole Torah? Right, that's the Vilna Gaon, the famous, the Gra, the Maral Midiskin, they say because by all the mitzvahs you could do it many times, so there's no harm. But we have a principle, Gadol HaMetzuvios, the greater is the one who does the mitzvah who's commanded, so we had to wait. But the Bris Karav has, based on this lamdus, that what did it do when physically cutting the foreskin is not a mila. You have to be. It's the mitzvah of mila that creates the status of an aro. Once you have that aro, then you have a mitzvah to cut off the arla, and that's why he explains that it says that Avram went down on his knees and he bowed in the presence of God. So the question is, because he realized he was an aro. The question is, it's not the first time he's talking to God, and he never bowed down the other times. So he explains, because right now, before he got the mitzvah of mila, he's not an aro. Now they got the mitzvah of mila, until he actually did it, so he had the status of an aro. But that's, so the Sheva Levi itself, that point's a point of contention, whether that's true or not. His whole thing is very interesting anyway, that you don't get the mitzvah of mila, but you lose the status of aro, etc., in terms of that. So this, since it's Atzara B'Tavis, actually it's Atzara B'Tavis right now, but we're not fasting yet. But actually, that doesn't begin until the morning. So just to discuss a little bit of Mila on a Yom Tainis. So what's the halacha of a Mila on a fast day? So what do you mean? So Mila, what could you do? You don't do a Mila? So of course you do the Mila. That's not up for contention. And unfortunately, the meaning is we don't have the meal on the day of the Tainis. They have it after. What about the major question the poskim deal with is the boer pri agafen, the bracha you make on the wine, you know, what do you do? So it's a discussion, the Rishon, and we assume b'di'eved, mi'ikar adin, If you don't have wine, you could do the milo without a wine. But l'chatchil, we always try to do, we try to make the bracha over wine. So what's the status? It's the same as Gemara and Erevin, Daf Mem Vav. It's talking about Yom Kippur. We know we make a Shechiyano on Yom Kippur, right after Kol Nidre. We make it all together in Shul. And the Gemara says, we always try, every time we make a Shechiyano, we try to do it a la kos. In fact, that's where Yaakov Emdin was very against. He used to try to, he wanted to change the minhag that women should not make the Shechiyano over the candles at home. They should, well, in general, he was against that on Yontav in general, they should make it a la kos, they should wait for the Kiddush. When the husband makes the Kiddush, they'll listen to the Shechiyano, and that's what he tried to do, but his wife didn't listen to him, so he gave up trying to convince other people. But either way, that's what they bring down. L'chatchila is supposed to make a bracha a la kos. So Gemara says, so what do you do? It's Yom Kippur, so how can I make a bori pri agafen? So Gemara says, I have a good idea. Give it to a katan. Give it to a minor. Gemara says, bad idea. It's terrible chinuch. What are you going to teach the kid? You know what? Kol nidre shachiyano, drinking wine. That's what he's going to grow up. And he's going to, when it comes to Yom Kippur, he'll start drinking wine. So it's a bad idea of chinuch. We don't want him growing up thinking that you have a mitzvah to drink wine on Yom Kippur. So the bottom line is we don't do it. Obviously, we just make a shachiyano without a kos. So Tosafot over there has an interesting question. So what about on a, he first of all, he discusses on a wedding on a fast day, which parenthetically you're allowed to get married, and I'm not recommending it, but they did get married on fast days, and they had the, they do, but the problem is they had the food at the end of the fast day, but also on a milah. So what about giving, what do you do for, at a chuppah, what do you do at a milah on a Yom Tainis, Tosus asks, what about the Bori Pri Agafen? So the Rashbam writes that it's no problem, at the wedding you could do it, you could give it to a katan and a bris milah. Because that's only an agroi, that's only something, you don't usually have a wedding on a fast day, you don't usually have a bris on a fast. It happens once in a while, we're not concerned the kid's going to learn the bad things about drinking wine on a fast day, and we don't have to worry about it. Other Rishonim say no, the Gemara didn't make any qualifications, hence you're never allowed to give a katan wine. When you, if you can't drink wine, you can never give it. So the Machlokas Rishonim, whether that Gemara in Yom Kippur is the rule. We always say we're concerned your kid's going to end up drinking wine. I don't know. That's only there because that's an everyday thing and that's the Yom Kippur kares, but ordinarily not. So how do we paskin? This is a machlokes machaber ramah in Shulchan Aruch, which is a machlokes svardim ashkenaz on what the practice is today. So we have to distinguish between the different fast days. We have the four fast days that we do Zechu Churban like tomorrow, but the Som HaRavi, we have Yud Zayin Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Som Gedalia and Asar B'Tevis. Those four are together, and you have Yom Kippur. So we'll see Tisha B'Av. Might be a discussion. So I'll leave out Tisha B'Av for a second. I'll come back to it. But the other three fast days I mentioned. So what do you do? So the Machaba writes, he Machaba passes like those we shown him. That you're never allowed to give it to a katan. So therefore, what do you do then on a fast day like tomorrow? Tomorrow you're having a bris. And so what do you do with the boy pri agafen? So the minhag of the Sfardim is you give it to the mother. You give it to the mother of the child. Because why? Because halacha is, why the mother of the child? Because halacha is, well, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch anyway, the first 3 days after childbirth, a woman has the status of a chole sheyish bo sakana. From 3 to 7, the discussion, halacha l'maaseh, so we assume, you know, she's probably a chole sheyish bo sakana also then, but strictly speaking, on day 8, she's a chole she'ein bo sakana. Again, if there's any type of issues, you know, of course you always ask a question if there's any complications, but just strictly speaking, al pi halacha, on day 8, she's a cholesh ebo sakana. So someone has the status of being someone sick, but not in danger. And the halacha is, on these 3 fast days, a cholesh ebo sakana are exempt from fasting. So therefore, there's no, because what bad chinuch, the mother is going to be drinking, and the mother is exempt from the fast, so therefore, the minhag of the Sfardim is, you give it to the mother. The minhag of the Ashkenaz is, you give it to a katan shegia l'chinuch. You give it to a katan who understands at least what's going on, and you give it to a katan shagi ochinach. So actually we had it, I forget which fast day, but we had it in Hamilton last year we had a bris on the fast day, but we had a Svardi Mohel, Jason O'Hain, and it was Rabbi Green's kid, so I was joking, so I told them Tova later, I said, you're lucky you're not Svardi, you would have to drink from that cup of wine. But that's the minhag Ashkenaz, that you give it to a katan shagia l'chinuch, and the minhag of the Svardim, you give it to the mother. The problem is, what about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur, the halacha is, strictly speaking, that I'm not assuming that the mother who just gave birth on day 8 is a cholesh she'ein bo sakana, assuming there's no complications, all things being equal, she's chayav to fast. So what do? So Svardim is, they don't do, they still bo'er pri agafen, they'll do the bris on Yom Kippur, and they won't have a bo'er pri agafen, because they don't, you never give it to kids, bad chinuch, and you can't give it to the mother, because she's chayav in the fast also, so you do the bris without the bo'er pri agafen.
What about the tinoch?
Right, that's the minhag Ashkenaz. So what do we do? So you can't give it to a katan shagia l'chinuch because you have to train this for Yom Kippur. You start training a katan shagia l'chinuch on fasting. So what do? So our minhag is you give it to the katan hanimo.
The katan shagia l'chinuch is different. On Yom Kippur, it's a later shagia l'chinuch.
Right, I'm saying, but whichever, yeah. So they have, but they point out, yeah, whatever the specific child is, but they say you give it to the katan hanimo. You give a sip to the little baby because the baby's not chayev in fasting. So that's a machlokas svardi. So Tisha B'Av seems to be a steer in the machaber. In one place, in Hilchas, between Hilchas Mila and Hilchas Tisha, on one hand he compares.
So if they don't give it to
right nothing,
do they say a gafen?
No, they can't.
Do they have a cup of wine?
They have a cup of wine. It's a good question, but they don't make. They don't make a bo'er pri agafen.
No bracha.
No, that's
right. No, because it's supposed to be alayayin.
Yeah.
Just anyway.
Like, yeah, it's all right. Right. We're not making a bracha, so pashas they should still have a cup of wine. Yeah.
Just don't drink.
No, but the minhag Ashkenaz says you do make a bo'er pri agafen, but then you give it to the child, which is a shaila, like what kind of kavan? Like, how does that work? So that's the Rav Salavashik trying to explain the meaning of the Ramah, that when the Gemara says, Mavarak Sarach Sheyitim, when you make a bracha, you have to drink. Why? I would have said, because it's a bracha of Atola. It's a blessing in vain. Rashi writes, no, you know why? Because it's Gnai Hu a Kosho Bracha. It's a Gnai, it's a disgrace. If it's a Kosho Bracha, you should drink from it. So it's not a din of Kavana. Maybe that's what the Katan is drinking, not Elz Betoris Kavana, that it shouldn't be a Gnai to the kosher bracha, you give it to the katan hanimo. But either way, it comes out a double. So by Tisha B'Av, it's a steer in the machaber. So by us, B'nai Ashkenaz, Tisha B'Av is the same as the other days. We assume it's a cholesh ein bo sakana, she's allowed to eat. Again, it's a discussion among the poskim. I think she's a cholesh ein bo, she can eat. So therefore, it would be no different according to the Rama. You give it to a katan shagia l'chinuch. According to the machaber, depending on which machaber you go by with, either you give it to the mother or no one, or if Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, then no one would drink.
It's a widespread minhag, especially in Europe, that after Kabbalah Shabbos, you say Kiddush. The chazan says Kiddush. But since he's not the Mokum Suda, so the wine is given to children. And that's very widespread, and it's born as the same minhag in every country.
Right, to the FOA.
So in other words, we do give to a child. We're not afraid that the child is getting
In terms of chinuch, you mean?
Yeah. You're not allowed to eat now because you didn't, and you're not mokum suda. The kiddush was not mokum suda.
Right.
So you're not allowed to eat. But the child does eat. So the question should arise, is it not bad chinuch? And this is every week.
Strictly speaking, is that what... If let's say there is no katan, so what do? You drink it. And they say you should drink, you should drink enough that you can make, because strictly speaking, you could drink it, but
that was... it'll be
suited. Right, so b'di'evah, we could consider it as kiddush v'makom suda, then you go home, and then if, like the gra, you'd have to make another kiddush al pas, but since b'di'evah, you could say it's kiddush b'makom
suda.
But
the fact is that that's already
a lechatchila. I know, but his halach is set on a real something maker idea, not a lechatchila. And also, that whole thing's a minhag about having it in shul.
Sfarid shuls also do that. You
know? No, I think they try to get rid of this practice of not doing it in shul. You know, because there's no reason to today.
But the question would be whether Sfarid shuls do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. No, it's not all shuls do it, but.
Right,
if Sfarid, you mean, right, cause it'd be more of a kasha on Sfarid.
Yeah,
no, even if they do, it still wouldn't be the same. I understand the question. It's not giving the child to drink some.
But the isser, you're dealing with is an isser derabanan. You're not fulfilling the chiyuv deraisa for the child, but the isser is an isser derabanan.
The whole
kiddush
malkum
sudan.
Yeah, and also kiddush alayayin derabanan. The whole thing's kiddush alayayin derabanan to begin with.
Yeah, because otherwise
he's yotzi. Yeah, he's yotzi. It's kiddush anyway. So I'm just saying it's not real. So
the fact is, the child is being told to. You do it as a child because the grown-ups are not allowed to.
But that's
do
the
it.
Same as what
that's
you,
the question of.
And shivasa b'tamas if you give him to drink, which we do.
Same thing.
So obviously you have to look at the isser that you're teaching the child to disobey. If it seems to
right,
be
right,
if it's a deraisa,
right,
then we're
question,
concerned.
That's
if it's a deraisa, we're not concerned.
Which is the reason why we don't give it to a child on Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
So why doesn't the same apply to these other situations? I realize Yom Kippur is deraisa and there's no one. But from the chiluf viewpoint, it's the same thing.
Oh.
You're teaching the child that what is also you can do.
Right.
Right. But the different issues of lechad chiluf minhagim and that, right? So it's not.
Yeah,
but
this is pretty
widespread. No, right. No, but it's not the same as because the bottom line is I wouldn't if you didn't have a katan, you wouldn't drink on tisha. But I'm saying in the other cases, if a katan wouldn't do it, no one would do it. In this case, if there's no katan or gadol k'dus, you're already showing me ikar adin, it's okay.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen, so you don't show.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Practically speaking, you're right. I mean, in the meta halacha, it's true. Chinuch is much broader than like this. You know, you could follow the straight halacha and be a terrible machanach. You could be a manubel b'shus haTorah. But in saying technically speaking, it's mutter. I agree with you in terms of the concept of chinuch and lashem b'nei adam. It's not, you know, it's not a good practice. But let's just summarize. So we're discussing that the famous Rambam, that even though Avraham Avinu, etc., had the Mila, but all the mitzvahs we do are based on Matan Torah, and we do Mila because it was given later on. And that's why the Gemara learns out by the C-section baby, that's specifically only a woman who becomes Tamei Leidet day 8, and that's why it's a Sveika. You don't do a C-section baby on Shabbos on day 8. And then the tremendous chiddush of Roida Chanano based on the Gemara Chagiga, that from bathhouse insemination, she's not the din of Leda, he extends it to artificial insemination, in vitro, etc. And then we discussed the question of anesthesia about going to three shitas. On one hand, Imri Yosher, that pain is part of it and don't do anything. And you have the Marsham, and others that say, no, pain has nothing to do with it. If you could avoid the pain and you put them in the general, that's fine, and it's okay that even if the person's sleeping, and then you have the street age in between, that it's okay to do local, because mitzvah street, you want the baby to be up, but it's enough, you tamper the pain. It's like we say by childbirth, even that there's no obligation for a woman to have to suffer more. It's because of what happened with other mechava, but if you find ways to go ahead and do a childbirth without pain, so you go ahead, so too they say, by Bismillah. And then we discussed the question as well of Mila on a Yom Tainis in terms of the Machokas, the Svardim, and the Ashkenaz, in terms of, do we say, you never give it to a child. To the Mechaba writes, you never give it to a child, so therefore on at least three out of the four fast days you'd give it to the mother. Tisha B'Av is the question. And since you can't give it to your mother, to the mother on Yom Kippur, so therefore you don't make a Bo'ei Priya Gafen. And the Minag Ashkenaz is, on the fourth fast day, you give it to a Katan Shegiyah L'chinach. However, on the Yom Kippur, you can, so therefore you give it to the Katan Hanimo. You give a sip to the baby to have some wine.
There's Rambam that all mitzvahs in Bereshis are kept because they repeated later.